Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. We're so glad that you've tuned in on this Sunday, November 18th, 2018, right before Thanksgiving that's coming on Thursday. And boy, we all look forward to all of the turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and my sister's broccoli casserole and my mom's cranberry salad and all the other trimmings. And Rose always brings me a pecan pie to eat. And boy, just on and on and on it goes. And so we tend to think of Thanksgiving more about food than we do about thanks. But I just want to let you know before we get into the broadcast that we are going to be having a Thanksgiving Day service on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. And we'd really encourage you to come. We come together and sing songs of thanksgiving and hymns to God to praise Him and to let Him know how thankful we are. We have a time of sharing, and Cal Heinbaugh is going to be bringing our Thanksgiving Day message this year, so I'm looking forward to that. But we just use this as a time to come together as the church before we enjoy all the things of the day, whether it's feasting or football or whatever, and remember the God from whom all of our blessings flow so that we can be thankful. So I want to encourage you to come out on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. Love to have you there. So last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, we begin talking about these three commandments that Paul gives through the Holy Spirit of God to God's people. And he says, rejoice always. Now, for those that do not have the Spirit of Christ, for those who are just looking in this world for something to satisfy and fill their needs and desires, never going to find it, because the only place that you can truly find it is in Christ. You can gain the whole world. You can have all the money in the world. It won't satisfy you. You can have whatever you think it is that's going to satisfy you, and it'll never be enough. Only a relationship with our Creator truly satisfies the longings of our heart. And so 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 said to rejoice always. We talked about that last week. And by the way, on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, you can go back under the ministry tab and find the Solid Rock Gospel broadcasts, and you can go back and listen to these radio broadcasts a certain way back. And so if you missed last week's, go there and listen to it. And we're glad you're listening this week. And this week we're going to be talking about verse 17, pray continually or pray without ceasing. Now, I like what John MacArthur wrote. This is a quote from his commentary. He said, those who live their lives in joyful dependency on God will continually recognize their own insufficiency and therefore constantly be in an attitude of prayer. Now, that's what this verse is talking about. When it says pray continually or pray without ceasing, it's not talking about being down on your knees and then standing up and praying and then laying down and praying. It's not talking about a posture of prayer. It's talking about an attitude of prayer. Yes, there's times when like Jesus said, we go into the closet and we shut the door. And we pray in private the things that are on our heart. We have our what we call quiet times, if you would, where we're by ourselves. And maybe we go somewhere. Maybe we've got a place up on the mountain or in a park somewhere. Somewhere where we go to just spend some time with God by ourselves and be alone in prayer. There's times of agonizing prayer where you just don't know how to pray. And that's where the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with our prayers. And just, you know, during times of disaster or grief or chaos or fear, you just, those are times of special prayer and fasting when there's some serious needs. Okay, we're not talking about that particular kind of prayer, though it's certainly included in it. But this is more the attitude of prayer. This is what Jesus was talking about in Luke 18, when he talked about praying and never giving up. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. He told his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. So an attitude of just always recognizing our need for God's help and strength and wisdom in our lives. And Jesus certainly showed us the example of living a life of prayer, didn't he? In Mark chapter 1, in verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Wow. You know, boy, so many of us have a very hard time even just getting up in the morning while it's still dark, right? Jesus got up and went off to a solitary place and prayed. So here's our Savior setting us the example of a life of prayer. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, right before he chose of all of the disciples that were following him, the 12 that would be his special apostles, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God." Now, how many of you have ever spent the whole night praying to God? Some of you, yes, because of circumstances and this and that, but how many times do we really plan on spending the whole night praying to God? Probably not very often, right? And yet, again, here's our Lord and Savior setting us the example. This was of huge magnitude, of something that was of greatest consequence. And so he spent the night in prayer to God. He got up early in the morning and prayed to the Lord. In John chapter 6, after he had fed the 5,000, and they were just amazed, and it says that they were to come to him to make him a king. They wanted to make him a king, and so he knew that this was something that was not going to work very well, and so, you know, they were just blown away by the fact that he had fed them. And so it says in John 6:15, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And Mark's account and Matthew's account says he withdrew and he prayed. In other words, that's pretty heady when everybody wants to make you a king. But Jesus was already a king. And Jesus didn't come to be a king of an earthly kingdom. He came to be a king of a spiritual kingdom, the church that we're a part of. And so, again, Jesus led the example in praying that he would remain humble and he wouldn't allow this wanting to make him king go to his head. And Luke 22, of course, when he was in the garden of Gethsemane, and it says in Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, "And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." Now, I don't know about you, but I've never prayed that fervently, where I was sweating and in such anguish and in such turmoil that my sweat became, as it were, drops of blood. They say you can do that, but you have to be in absolute agony and just extreme, you know, tension and just serious prayer. That's what the Lord demonstrated to us. And so Jesus certainly didn't tell us to pray without ceasing and then not do it himself. The early church in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, Acts chapter 1 And verse 14, while the apostles were waiting, it says in verse 13, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so, you know, while they were waiting in Jerusalem, like Jesus had told them to, until the Holy Spirit had come on the apostles and they began the ministry of the kingdom under the Holy Spirit, they prayed. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Okay, so in verse 41, those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. God added them to the church after they responded to the message of the gospel and were baptized into Christ. And after that, they, verse 42, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. You know, the apostles thought that prayer was so important that over here in Acts chapter 6, when there was a question of the Grecian widows being overlooked in the daily distribution of food, it says in verse 2 of Acts 6, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So prayer was obviously a very big part in the life of the early church, and it still should be today. What would happen if God's people really got intense and excited about prayer, who just had the longing and just like the deer panting for the water, just wanting to go before God and just desire and wanting to present our requests to him? You know, what kind of things would happen if God's people prayed that way? We're going to listen to our first song this morning by Petra, What If His People Prayed. And this song, if you're not awake yet, will certainly do a lot to get you awake and challenge you with the message that maybe we need to look at our prayer life a little more closely and spend a little bit more time, a little bit more intensity, a little bit more desire in our prayer life as we come closer to the end of this 2018 year. Let's listen.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed? If we prayed for those raised up to lead the way, then maybe kids in school could pray and unborn children see light of day. What if the life that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed? And those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn from their own ways. He said that they would hear. His promise has been made. He answered loud and clear, yeah. If only and pray.
All right, now that we're back this morning, let's continue to talk about praying continually or praying without ceasing. And you say, well, how in the world does somebody do that? How do we have an attitude of prayer? What should we do with this attitude of prayer? Well, first of all, we should constantly be glorifying God. We should constantly be praising God throughout the day in our life. Whatever we do, we should be acknowledging God. We should be glorifying Him. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, when the apostles asked Jesus, hey, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, you know, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, I know a lot of people just say the Lord's Prayer, and there's nothing wrong with the Lord's Prayer to say, but too many times people just take the Lord's Prayer and just say it like a rote prayer, like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, so we forgive our debt. That's not the way that Jesus meant for it to be. The Lord's Prayer is a model prayer that we look at and say, not the same words all the time, but this is the idea of glorifying God. Our Father, we're recognizing Him as God, our Father, that He's the Creator, that from Him all things come, that He gave us life and breath and everything else. And so we glorify Him. We praise Him as the Creator. We praise Him as the everlasting God. We praise Him as the one that has all wisdom and all power. And the idea of hallowed be your name. In other words, the name of God should be a name that is just awesome on our lips. The Lord Jesus Christ should be held in high honor. We were at the buffet the other day eating with some Christian friends. And this table next to us, these big burly guys were over there. And the one guy was just foul mouth, just F-bombing this and that and coupling with Jesus Christ. And I did. I was like, hey, enough already. Quit it with the Jesus and the F-bombs together. And I didn't stand up and address him and confront him or anything, but I said it. And my son Steve was like, Dad. And I was like, come on, that's ridiculous. And you know, it didn't cause a problem, but you know what? I didn't hear any more cussing for the rest of the time either. So praise the Lord. And I'm glad it didn't come to a confrontation. I don't want to confront people and get in word matches. But boy, I'm also not going to just let people take the name of the Lord God in vain and treat it terribly like that. And so praise the Lord. But in our prayers, we need to praise God. We need to, again, be like in Psalm 42. And verses 1 and 2, where it says that like the deer pants for the water. Psalm chapter 42 and verses 1 and 2. Psalm 42 and verses 1 and 2. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? You know, in prayer, you meet with God all the time. He's right there. You don't have to go somewhere to pray for Him. Sometimes when I'm here at the church building, people come and say, hey, you know, can I go next door and pray? I'm like, why do you have to go next door? Why don't you pray right here? Well, is that acceptable? I thought we had to be in the sanctuary to pray. It's like, no, you don't have to be in a sanctuary to pray. God is God. You can pray anywhere and everywhere to God. And so a lot of times I'll just pray with the person right there, and they're kind of blown away that I would do that with them. Hey, I'll pray for you. If you come knock on the door and I'm here in the office, I'll pray with you too. And so we pray to glorify God. We pray for our daily needs. You know, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. And so we acknowledge that, yes, even though we work, we get the paycheck, we go cash it, we go buy the groceries, we stock our cupboards, it still all comes ultimately from God, doesn't it? And so we need to be grateful and thank God for our daily needs and pray that God, thank you and give me the strength to do my job. We pray for wisdom in the trials of life. You know, life isn't easy sometimes. And so when we pray, we need to be praying constantly about things we're going through. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And it says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So when you're going through difficult times and when you don't know how to deal with your coworkers or your kids or your family or your church family or the guy that's driving down the road like a crazy man, you need to pray without ceasing. You need to go to God in an attitude of prayer and say, Lord, help me to be patient. And then, Lord, help me to have wisdom. Help me to deal with this the right way. Help me to speak words of encouragement or rebuke or admonition or whatever needs to be done. But, Lord, I want to glorify you. You know, certainly during times of stress and anxiety and everything else, Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7 is just always a huge standby for Christians. Finally, brothers and sisters, he says in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hey, pray when you get anxious. Don't continue to be anxious, but pray about anything that you might be anxious about. And then finally, of course, when we go to prayer and we confess our sin. Psalm 32, David, after his sin with Bathsheba, he says in Psalm 32 and verse 5 that when he had kept silent, his bones wasted away and he groaned, and at night his strength was sapped. But then in verse 5 he says, but then I acknowledged my sin to you and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. How much more in John, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, when John writes and he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Friends, I'm so glad that we can pray to God, and we can pray to God without ceasing with an attitude of prayer. Hey, we're going to listen to our last song this morning. This is another song about prayer from a group called Petra. And Petra is going to be singing about prayer too. I hope you'll enjoy this song as we come down to the end of our broadcast this morning. Let's listen.
First, I want to thank you, Lord, for being who you are, for coming to the rescue of a man who's drifted far, for calling me to be your son and calling me to serve. Lord, the way you bless my life is more than I deserve. Keep the ones I love so dearly, fill their emptiness while I am gone, and fill the loneliness in me. Thank you.
right, what a powerful song. This is my prayer. And I hope that you can say that this is my prayer, because you pray without ceasing. You pray with an attitude of glorifying God, of thanking God, of asking God for wisdom, of crying to Him to relieve the anxiety and the stress and the trouble, and especially when we've blown it, when we've sinned. We need to confess our sin and say, God, forgive me. Strengthen me in my inner man to do it right the next time. Help me to control my temper. Help me to not say harsh words. Help me to be a person that reflects compassion and your heart. Help me to speak up and get angry and rebuke in the right way when it's necessary. Hey, we're the Church of Las Vegas. Come and meet with us Sunday morning at 10:30. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We meet Sunday at 10:30. Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you come again Thursday, 10 o'clock. Come on out and join us for our Thanksgiving service. Until then, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you.